Among all the events unfolding in front of us, the need to pay attention to one, I think, is obvious, while another, I believe, is insightful. The obvious is the foreign policy of the Trump administration, specifically how Donald Trump is conducting the war in Iran. The insightful is what Pope Leo has been saying and explaining in the early days of his papacy. Both of these, I think, are educational, but only if you have a factual understanding about them. And this is why we turn to my next guest, one was serving in the U.S. House of Representatives, representing Florida's 19th District. That was from 2017-2021. Before that, he served as the U.S. Ambassador to the Holy See for President George W. Bush administration. That was 2005-2008. He's also author of the book, The Global Vatican. Ambassador Francis Rooney, how are you today, Ambassador?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on.
I appreciate you taking the time on this, and certainly with everything moving as fast as it does, it can be confusing, especially if, let's start with the policy with the war in Iran, because it seems like there's the hint of a settlement, at least for a ceasefire. I mean, this is going to be a multiple-part resolution of all this, but then it's almost as if Donald Trump thinks of whatever he thinks of that day, that's the new reason for the war, and that means all the negotiations have to start over again. Help us make sense of what we're seeing unfolding with this unfortunately fluid, I guess I should say, activity with policy regarding the war in Iran.
Well, I don't think very much of what's happened with Iran and the United States makes any sense at all. I don't know why he picked that fight. They didn't go into it having thought out all the options. They prevaricated about the different reasons for their actions, and now they seem to have settled on the nuclear thing, but they'll probably prevaricate on that again.
Yeah, I mean,
so they're in a position here.
Just the other day, he all of a sudden he pops in with the Abraham Accords.
Yeah, it's distractive. And I think he'll do anything just to keep the people distracted on how ignorant the policy was in the first place. And he's going to wind up making a deal that's probably no better than what Obama got, if that.
Well, I heard someone talk about this, too. It seems like whenever they're getting close, the negotiators, the tight Trump circle turn to Trump and say, you know, it's not going to be as good as what Obama got. And then that's what compels Trump to trash everything and make them start all over again.
Right, because Trump compares everything to what Obama got. He's everything in the world is a referendum on Trump. How often you praise him, how often you butter him up, how he can say he succeeded where no other president has succeeded. All these things are kind of excessive of his personality.
Not to be conspiratorial, but how much of Trump's efforts are meant to be serving Israel's priorities?
Oh, I think a lot of them. I think Netanyahu kind of goaded him into taking this step. And I don't think Trump's guys thought it through what they really could accomplish with Iran and how wily the Iranians are and how it was really Netanyahu's problem, not ours.
And as history shows, too, it's totally realistic to believe that Iran would not agree to anything tougher than the 2015 nuclear deal, and they're willing to sacrifice the majority of their population, certainly if it means harming in any way, shape, or form America as well as Israel.
Yeah, you know, our United States and many Western countries have real trouble appreciating the depth of the difference between countries that value life and countries that don't. The countries that don't value life have some significant weaponry to deploy that we can't really totally comprehend.
And this isn't to be in any favor, any way, shape, or form of Iran having nuclear weapons, but if you look at the 2015 campaign, at least the 2015 nuclear agreement with the U.S. and multiple other nations, there at least was supervision, and they had a leash on them that, okay, fine, you obviously can use nuclear power. Any nation would want that. And the weaponization of it had at least a moderate leash on it, I guess would be the accurate thing to say. And again, this just shows the ignorance of what's happening in the current state of affairs with the Oval Office and the Trump administration. They had a useful deal instead of trying to add to it. They scrapped it and went to start over again. Here we are.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I wasn't totally in favor of the terms that Obama agreed to, and I certainly wasn't in favor of giving him all that money back. But Trump's about to talk about doing the same thing, paying him off again.
I heard a figure, if it came to pass, it could be a potential $300 billion windfall for Iran.
Yeah, I just make zero sense.
Talking with Ambassador Francis Rooney, who served as U.S. Ambassador to the Holy See for the President George W. Bush administration, as well as a member of the House of Representatives representing Florida's 19th District. You're listening to Issues and Ideas. Let us move on to Pope Leo, because I have been, ever since the Boston Globe reporters came out with the, no pun intended, the Book of Revelations about what had been going on with the Catholic Church, and I've been hard on the Church, or maybe factually honest, call it whatever you want to, I'm looking at what Pope Leo is doing. I think he could restore a lot of what his predecessors allowed to be lost with the Catholic Church.
I don't think there's any doubt about it. I think you're absolutely right. You can see how calm and judicious he is versus, say, Pope Francis being kind of yelling at people all the time.
Yeah.
And I think he understands the message of the gospel like Pope Benedict did, but with a little more powerful delivery than that. And he's onto something with this AI. I mean, the parallels between right now with AI and concentration of wealth and inequality are just like 1890 when Leo XIII wrote Verum Novarum.
That's one thing that really stood out, too, when Pope Leo talked about this and so much more in his Magnifica Humanitas, which is basically the, hi, here I am, here's what I'm all about, papal encyclical. He's pretty hip to the modern world. He's not, you know, we have people in Congress, no offense, you being a former member, but they're still trying to figure out flip phones as far as technology is concerned.
Right. Yeah, Pope Leo has a keen understanding, I think, of the dangers of AI, and he's willing to have the Vatican weigh in on the damage it could do to humanity, and that's really kind of his job. As he explained to Trump, my job's to preach the message of the gospel, and your job's to be president.
And usually never the twain shall meet, unfortunately, but that's another debate for another time, too. In your time as ambassador, did you become close to or know of the man who will become Pope Leo? And does what you see now come as any surprise to you of the person you knew then?
No surprise at all. My family's known Pope Leo for about 40 years. And we've been very involved with the Augustinians because our children went to Augustinian middle and high schools. And I was on the board of it, and Pope Leo used to come down to our board meetings every couple of months. And then when we lived in Rome, 2005 through 2008, we saw him all the time. We always invited him to every event we had at the house that involved Americans. And he's going to be a great pope. I think he'll be a great pope for two reasons, among others. One, he ran that order and has had to deal with people problems and money problems. And our popes are not very good at those things. We saw the abuse scandals, difficult to deal with them. We saw Pope Francis be defrauded out of $300 million or so in London. I don't think you'll see that stuff with Pope Leo.
In your book, you wrote about, in the Global Vatican, you wrote about soft power and soft diplomacy. Is that Pope Leo right now? Or it seems like he went maybe, I mean, not as loud and bold as Pope Francis and many of his predecessors. But if you look through the timeline of popes, you go back to Pope Pius XI and XII, they were certainly absent where they needed to be more present. Is Pope Leo the needed centrist that the Vatican needs?
Well, I think after Pope Francis and Pope Benedict, for different reasons, he is. I mean, Pope Benedict was a scholar and was very quiet. Pope Francis was a minister to the poor and very loud. I think with Pope Leo, you'll get a lot of Pope Francis's message, but you'll get it expressed in a more judicious and rational manner.
I think much like political parties have to realize and usually fail to do, I think the Pope Leo realizes there's a generational change that's needed in the Church, certainly with the absence of a sufficient number of priests, people coming into the priesthood. I think he sounds more of a magnet than a repellent, that other popes have been more the opposite.
Indisputably. In fact, Fox has reported that church attendance and interest in Catholicism among young people is up 12-13%. And I think that's been widely corroborated by other media. So that's a good thing, and I think Pope Leo has a lot of responsibility for enthusing these people.
And he's only getting warmed up, too, which is going to be the fun thing to watch and the interesting as well, like I said back in the introduction, when you have the facts and the reality, what you see could be a lot more insightful than just color and noise. And Ambassador Rooney has helped us, I think, better understand this. Be sure to get his book, too, when it comes to Poplio, because it gives you a look inside of the Vatican. This is 2013, but tradition holds true, and anything pushing against negative or not fully effective tradition is valuable, and I think Pope Leo is going to be doing some of that as well. The book is The Global Vatican. You get Amazon, Barnes & Noble, whatever your favorite means is. He is a former U.S. ambassador to the Holy See for President George W. Bush administration, as well as former member of the U.S. House representing Florida's 19th. Ambassador Francis Rooney, thank you so much for your insight and for helping us better appreciate and understand some very important matters in our country and world. Thanks for being here today.
Thanks for having me on.